Tonight's reading is from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 18. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Let the believer, who is lowly, boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low, because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. It is the same with the rich. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening, Church Without Walls. How's everyone doing tonight? It's good to be here. And I have a quick confession to make. I was telling some folks earlier today that sometimes when I preach at CWOW, I don't really have a lot of fun. So tonight, my goal is to have some fun while I'm preaching. So I need your help and encouragement and support while I'm here and I'm preaching. So I hope that you have some fun tonight too. And as I kind of preach on this really long passage with lots of different parts and lots of different truths, I have the privilege of getting to have fun with you all. So I hope that you enjoy this time. And hope that I enjoy this time. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Erina Kim Eubanks, and I am a member here at Church Without Walls. I'm also part of the teaching team, and I am excited to get to continue on in a series that we just started last week. So last week we launched a new sermon series on the book of James, and it's called Maturing Faith. And the book of James, Pastor Rena kind of talked about last week, is this sort of best hits kind of compilation of James's best teachings. James is a brother of James. He was kind of a leader in the Jerusalem church. He was really teaching to Jewish Christians. And so the letter of James is sort of this compilation of a lot of his best teachings. And it's written sort of in a style of wisdom literature. So there's lots of short, pithy statements and sort of little kind of chunks of wisdom kind of all put together. And last week, Pastor Rena got to sort of open up our series talking about how to mature in faith, we really have to both hear the word and obey the word, that we actually can't just understand and know things with our minds, but that we actually have to live things out and embody them in our lives. And today we get to continue on in this series, and I'll be kind of talking about a theme of endurance. And the way that it's going to work is that our series from here on out is going to be in sort of two-week chunks. And so each two-week chunk, we'll actually look at a theme together. So I'm going to talk about endurance this week, and Loretta will also talk about endurance next week, and so on and so forth. There's going to be sort of these pairings that we do in the weeks to come. And one other thing that's kind of interesting about this series is that we are doing this teaching series in conjunction with our weekly Discover Group series. And so a lot of what we hear on Sundays, the hope is that we will actually have time to talk about and reflect on and hear together more of how God is actually speaking to us from these words. And then we're going to actually live it out together and reflect on how God is transforming us through that. So it's an exciting time in our church. And it's actually kind of funny that I get to speak on this theme of endurance today. Because if anyone, you know, a lot of people who know me know that I am not a very patient person. My husband knows this very well. I don't know where he is. I looked over here. He's not over here. And, you know, I'm kind of the type of person who, you know, when I go to Berkeley Bowl, I'm always looking at, like, which line is going to be the fastest. Or when I go to the airport, I'm going through security lines, I'm like calculating, you know, based on age and stage of life and how people look and how many bags they have, like which line's going to be the fastest, because I just don't really like to wait. When I drive and there's traffic or things are going wrong, like I'm always kind of like weaving through and figuring out which lane's going to go faster, and can I get ahead just like two cars, because I don't really like persevering and I don't like sitting in traffic and I'm not a very patient person. I oftentimes start books and then never finish them. Anyone guilty of that here? You have that problem? I also do this thing even with music sometimes where, like, I'll listen to the first part of a song. And, like, within 30 seconds, if I don't like the song, I'm like, I'm going to do the next one. And Michael's always like, wait, you have to hear the whole thing. Like, what if it gets better? What if it changes? I'm like, okay, I already made an opinion. I'm just going to move on. So I'm just not a very enduring person. And tonight I'm talking about how we as Christians, part of our life of faith and part of our journey of maturity is learning how to endure and persevere. And a few weeks ago, I actually went on a trip to Mendocino. And my husband, Michael, and I, we decided that we wanted to go to Montgomery Woods State Reserve Park. It's this park where basically some of the tallest and oldest redwood trees in the whole world exist. And this park is about like an hour-ish away from Mendocino proper where we were staying. But I didn't know exactly where it was. So I looked up directions, I put them on my phone, and then we started driving. And there was a lot of road that looked like this. Lots of winding, lots of trees, everything pretty much looked the same. We're going deeper and deeper and deeper into the woods. Lost reception, probably within like 15 minutes. And I do a thing where I like screenshot directions on my phone. So if I lose reception, I'll still have directions. But I was kind of calculating in my head by how many miles we were supposed to go, how long it would take to get to Montgomery Woods. And so we're driving and Michael's driving and I'm like, okay. It's like supposed to be like 23 miles. So if we're driving about 30 miles an hour, then, you know, we should get there within 45 minutes or so. So 45 minutes passes, and I'm like, we're still driving. And the road still looks like this. And we haven't seen any signs, okay? So I'm waiting, and then like an hour goes by, still driving. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. What if we're going the wrong way? Or what if we took a wrong turn, even though really we were going the same road the whole time? And like, there was a point where I was like, really just, I don't know if I could keep going on this road anymore. Like, what if we're going the wrong way? And so I told Michael, I was like, Michael, like, I think we should just drive like 5 more minutes. And if we don't get to this park, then I think we need to turn around because I think we're lost. I think we went the wrong way, or maybe my directions were wrong, or maybe something. I don't know. I don't know what happened. So so he's like, okay. And sure enough, literally like within the next minute, we drive up and it's like Montgomery Woods State Reserve Park. And you know, he just kind of laughed at me and I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. I just had to keep going. But it was really interesting, and I think this is kind of like really telling of my personality, and in some ways, maybe some of you can relate to this, some of you maybe don't. But tonight, as we look at this letter of James, and we look at these verses in the first chapter, I think one of the things that we'll find is that really the life of faith and really the road to maturity, it involves going through trials. Involves going through trials, and there really are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. And tonight, I think that word might challenge some of us, might encourage some of us. It might make some of us curious, but as we go deeper into this word, I hope that there's some things that come up for each and every one of you in this room. And whatever sort of trials you're facing tonight, that there might be some encouragement for you in this letter of James. So before I jump into the text, I just want to pray for us. So will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We thank you that you are the Father of lights in whom there is no changing. And Jesus, we thank you that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you that you are a model for us of what it means to endure suffering and to endure the cross for the joy that is set before us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you lead us into truth. We invite you to come, to move in our hearts, to stir us, to convict us, to give us what we need. Would you have your way in this place tonight? And would you help each person here to hear something from you? We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So tonight, as we kind of jump into James and get more into the text, we're going to be talking about this theme of endurance. And before I went into the text, I just wanted to kind of define what endurance is. In the word endurance actually appears several times, about five times in the letter of James. And the word for endurance is hypomene. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But it's really interesting because I was actually looking up what the word means. And in sort of the concordance, I found that in the New Testament, when it talks about endurance, it's really talking about this. The characteristic of a man or a person who is not swerved from their deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. So throughout the New Testament, there's a lot of occurrences of this word, and endurance is always used in relationship to suffering. It's always used in kind of this way to describe a steadfastness, a loyalty, an unswerving sort of faith, especially in the midst of trials. And in many ways, it's sort of this picture of, you know, the person who actually runs the race and finishes it. Or, you know, the seed that is planted that actually grows and bears good fruit. Or, you know, the house that was hit by a storm but was found standing. These are sort of these pictures of endurance. And endurance, really, in the New Testament, really has to do with the quality that allows us to withstand suffering. And in James, this is really the case. So tonight's passage, in verses 2 through 4, he starts to talk about this theme of endurance. It starts and says, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind." Now, I want to stop right there and just note, it says, whenever you face trials, not if you face trials, it says, whenever you face trials, right? So there's a sense that trials are inevitable. And not just kind of this type of trial or this type of trial, not just a trial of physical ailment or a trial of material deprivation or a trial of emotional turmoil. It's trials of any kind, all kinds, any form of trials. Whenever you face them, consider it nothing but joy. Can you all say joy? How many of you, when you are facing a trial, think, ah, joy? I know I certainly don't. But James seems to think that there's a relationship between trials and joy. That whenever we face trials of any kind, that we are supposed to consider them joy. Why? How? This is not the natural human response to trials, right? And James lays it out. He says, because. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. This word endurance, that steadfastness, that ability to stay in trials. And testing of faith, the trials that we face, it actually is productive. It produces something. It makes something. It forms us and it produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect. In some translations, you can almost say, and let endurance be found to endure. It's kind of this funny thing of like endurance actually enduring. So that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And so in the series, we're talking about maturity, what it means to mature in faith, to be found growing and thriving and rich in our faith. And James is saying here that in order to come to that place, we have to go through trials and that we have to consider them joy, knowing that there's actually something productive, there's something actually constructive about trials. Later on in verse 12, he says, and blessed is anyone who endures temptation. That same word, endures, comes up again. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And similar to kind of the first section, there's sort of this long kind of, there's a sort of outcome that comes in the midst of enduring temptation. When we've gone through, when we've endured, when we've been able to go through, in the end, in verse 12, it says that we'll receive the crown of life. Verses 2 through 4 say when we go through, we end up being mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And in verse 12, we see that we're blessed because when we come through, that we receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him, to those who love him. And the reality is here in James that there is this word for the church, that our present status does not determine our heavenly inheritance. And so we can kind of have this long view in mind when we are in the midst of suffering. And it's interesting because a lot of James, I think his teachings come sort of in conjunction with the teachings of Jesus. And I think actually the life of Jesus really models this best for us. And so this isn't from James, but it's from Hebrews. And I just wanted to read these verses for us because I think this provides us with like the ultimate model of what this looks like. And it just says, you know, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured, that same word, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken a seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The reason that we as Christians, as in our pursuit of maturity, the reason that we actually can endure trials is because Jesus did it first. He is the author. He is the perfecter of our faith. And Jesus endured the cross. The cross was a source of shame, humiliation, physical brutality, violence, disdain, scorn, this sort of crazy, gruesome, ultimate act of suffering, the cross. Jesus actually endured that. He endured suffering. He endured trial and temptation, just as we do. And why and how? Because he knew the joy that was set before him. Jesus had the long view in mind. Jesus knew that that suffering, that present situation of the cross, that ultimately there would be something beyond it. It would be the glory of the resurrection. And that there could be no resurrection without going through crucifixion. And so for us, when we go through trials and we go through temptations, we are called to endure just as Jesus endured. And we are called to have joy just as Jesus had joy. Why? Because we know that there's something beyond. We know that there's something on the other side. We know that that present situation, that present suffering, that current reality that we're facing, that that is not the end story. There's something beyond. There's good news for us past it. And this is not really how we think about suffering in our society, right? We live in the United States of America where suffering is really something that is avoided at all costs in a lot of ways. A lot of our lives are built around avoiding suffering. And actually seeking comfort. And I think even as Christians in the church, we've become sort of tempted by this narrative to become sort of satiated, to be satisfied, to be sort of to be comfortable, to avoid suffering. And really, in James, we see that actually we have to go through trials, that there's no shortcut for that, that the path through maturity, it goes through trials. There's no other way, and we have to actually endure. And for me, I think like one of the ways that this is really relevant in my life right now, one of the sort of trials I'm facing is actually in my job. I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but it's kind of funny because, you know, 6 months ago, if you'd asked me like, you know, what job would I be in? I would have said, like, I have no clue. Like, I ended up getting a job in August after a long pursuit of, like, trying to figure out my future and trying to figure out what I was going to do. And the job I ended up in as a restorative justice coordinator in Berkeley Unified School District, like, if you had told me that was going to be my job, I would have been like, oh, my gosh, that's, like, my dream. That's what I would love, right? But the reality of the job is a lot harder than the dream that I had for this job. And the reality is that I'm working in schools, which are very complex institutions, which are slow to change. And much of my job is trying to push change as one person without much power, without much influence, without even much knowledge of school district or schools and how they work. So this is a trial for me. it's kind of a struggle. And there's days where I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea if I'm making any impact. I don't know if this is making any difference. Like, what am I really doing? And there's many Sundays where I'm just like, oh, tomorrow's Monday. I have to go to work tomorrow. Oh, man. And there's many Fridays where I'm like, yay, it's the weekend. And I kind of really know the feeling of, you know, that TGIF sort of feeling like that I never really had before, where I wasn't, because I was in campus ministry and it was, my schedule was a lot stranger than it is now. But this is actually one area where I feel like I'm being called to persevere. I'm being called to endure. I'm being called to have sort of the long view in mind. And really every day, like my sort of thing now, I've been convicted is that I just need to ask God, like, what am I being called to be faithful in today? And just do that one thing and just continue to do that day in and day out. And it's not really glamorous and it's not really always the most fun and exciting thing. But I feel like right now this is one area where I'm being called to endure. And there's a lot of areas, I think, in our lives where we feel like it's not comfortable, it's not fun. There's struggle, there's pain, there's temptation, there's trial, there's things we're going through. But really, there's no shortcut. There's no way around growth for us. To actually get to a place of growth, we have to learn how to endure and get through it. Amen? So how do we do this? This is a nice call. It's a challenging call. It's like, okay, well, Jesus, you did that. You endured the cross. That's pretty hard. that's pretty impressive. But you're Jesus. What about me? Like, how do I do this in my life? That seems like a pretty hard call. And in James, there's some words of encouragement and also challenge that I think we see. And one is kind of this reminder that God is actually really generous. So when we're facing trials, we can remember that God is generous. And we see in verses 5 through 8, James says, "If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you." Now, it's really interesting, this word generously. I was kind of like, oh, like, what does that really mean? Like, generous. Like, obviously, we kind of can kind of think about what generosity is. But I was like, in terms of who God is, what does it mean that God is generous? And really interestingly, I found out that this word generous, actually the root that it comes from is the word that is for like single or singular. So God's generosity in giving wisdom, it actually sort of implies that God is really single-minded in giving wisdom, that there is this sort of persistence and undividedness in God giving wisdom. And that's what that generosity is. And why do we ask for wisdom? Why is James talking about wisdom here all of a sudden? And I was like kind of reflecting on this, and James, for many people, they talk about how James is sort of in this tradition of wisdom literature. And in the Proverbs, for example, there's a lot of sayings about wisdom and the importance of wisdom. And in the wisdom tradition, there's this idea that wisdom actually helps us to live rightly. Wisdom helps us to live rightly. And specifically when it comes to trials, specifically when it comes to enduring hard things, how do we live rightly? Well, I think wisdom actually helps us to see and to understand our earthly situations in light of heavenly realities. And I think that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is learning to see our earthly situations in light of heavenly realities. And thus, James says, like, for you to endure trials, you have to see that situation rightly. You have to see them in light of the long view and the heavenly reality and the thing that is to come. And so wisdom helps us to do that. And why do we do that? How do we do that? This passage talks about how God is generous, that he's single-minded in wanting to give us wisdom. And it's interesting that it's kind of this single-mindedness of God's generosity that's being pointed out, because in the next few verses, James says, "And ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord." It's really interesting that he brings up and kind of contrasts the sort of single-mindedness of God wanting to give wisdom, this sort of persistence and kind of this undivided intent of God giving wisdom, and how sometimes we actually, our doubt is like a double-mindedness. Our doubt is like us being wavering and us being the opposite of single-minded, right? And really, it's because God is single-minded in how generous he is and how he wants to give wisdom that we can also be single-minded in how we approach him. And I think this is what James is saying, like, God is single-minded in wanting to give us wisdom, so you should approach God in the same way. Approach God in a single-minded way. Trust and believe that he is good. Trust and believe that he's generous. Trust and believe that he's going to give you wisdom. Because God wants to help you in the midst of your trials. God does not leave you when you're suffering or going through hard things. God wants to show you how to endure that and go through that with the right perspective, seeing sort of that earthly situation in light of the heavenly realities. And so, and I think this really echoes Jesus' teaching in Matthew. And in Matthew 7, he says, Jesus says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" When we know our Father wants to give good gifts, we will ask. We will ask. We'll ask for the things that we need. And in the midst of trials, a lot of times what we really need is wisdom. And I've been really struck by this past week. whoops. What happened? Yeah, a really cute picture of Emmaus and Chloe. Sure. Let's see. Interesting. I'm missing a lot of slides. Okay. This always happens. Trials. That's okay. Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. I'm like missing a lot of slides. Okay, well, anyway, that's fine. You can look, Bora. Thank you. So I have these new housemates, these really cute kids, Chloe and Emmaus, Huau. And it's been fun to have them as housemates. And this past week in particular, I was, you know, prepping for my sermon. I was thinking about this whole thing about asking for wisdom and why we can ask God for wisdom and how he's generous. And I was thinking about the relationship between parents and kids and how, you know, how provision happens and how requests happen. And this past week, it was really sad because Emmaus was really sick. he was, and he, I think he's still kind of sick, you know. he was pretty snotty and threw up and was just really like low energy. And usually he's really, you know, active and all of, like, kind of running around all over the place. And he was just like really like, his eyes are always drooping down and just his face is like, you know, all sad looking. But it was really interesting because I was actually kind of noting the ways that he would ask. He would ask his parents, he would ask his mom and dad for what he needed when he was feeling down. Like he's like, tissue. Oh yeah. See, look at them. They're so cute. Like medicine, juice. Like he'd ask for these things. And of course, because Wendy and Elliot are good parents, they're gonna, because they love Emmaus, they want to give him good gifts when he asks. And Emmaus actually, in his sickness, he's not thinking like, oh, I'm going to ask for tissues. And my mom's going to be like, no tissue for you, right? Or like, no medicine for you. Well, maybe when he asks for too much medicine because he thinks it tastes like candy. But, you know, I think there's this way that as a kid asks their parent for something they need, they do it in confidence because they know and believe that that parent wants what's best for the child. And in a similar way, I think when we're in the midst of trials, when we're struggling, when we're feeling lost or we're going through hard things, James is saying, like, you need to ask for wisdom and do it in a way where you don't doubt. Don't doubt the giver. Don't doubt that the giver wants to give good gifts and ask for wisdom. And wisdom will help you endure. It'll help you see these trials rightly and get through it. And so that's one of the important keys to enduring in trials. And then James has this really interesting section that might, for many of you, feel like, what? Where did this come from? He starts talking about the lowly being boasting and being raised up, and the rich boasting and being brought low, and how the rich will wither away in the midst of a busy life and all these things. And I'm not going to go too much into this section because we're going to talk more about this theme about the lowly and the rich and kind of the nature of riches next week in Loretta's sermon. But I do want to point out that I think there's a reason why James actually brings this up. And this is actually a really important theme in James. James talks about riches a lot. He talks about how we treat the poor a lot. He talks about these things because I think that riches are often the source of temptation and trial for a lot of people. And James is actually writing to an audience, to Christians in the early church who were probably going through significant material poverty, that they were experiencing kind of a lowly status in society because they were being persecuted. And around the time that James was written, right before this, there was actually a famine. Historically, there was like a big famine that happened. So a lot of the church might have been actually physically suffering and physically and materially poor at the time. And that was a trial that they had to endure. And I'm not going to go too much into it, but I think one of the important things just to highlight here is that for James and in his theology, there's a strong contrast between what the world says about certain things and kind of what God says about things, right? And so in the sort of the earthly reality, like the rich are on top and the poor are on bottom. And that's just kind of how things are. If you have status, if you have power, if you have money, you're just sort of on the top of society. And if you don't, if you're physically, materially deprived, you're sort of on the bottom of the ladder. And the economy of God, there's actually a reversal that happens. And there's in kind of the long view, there's a reversal that will happen, that God actually brings the high low and he brings the low and raises them up. And this is actually part of what happens in the long, sort of long view of God's heavenly reality. And we're going to talk more about that next week, but I did want to bring that up. And because I think that for any of us here, or even just as we think about our world and we think about people who are actually poor and suffering, the truth and reality is that part of enduring that is knowing that that situation does not determine your heavenly inheritance. That your current, present physical situation does not determine your heavenly inheritance in the long run. And so in the economy of God, there's a reversal that happens. And there's sort of like the poor will not always be poor. The rich will not always be rich. That material things fade away. And that there's a way that we actually can hold the view of God in mind. And that helps us to endure trials and suffering. And Just one kind of passage that sort of echoes this is in the Magnificat in Luke 1. And just, you know, it says, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. And we'll talk more about this next week. Loretta is going to be preaching on Super Bowl Sunday, and she'll get more into that. But if you're wrestling with that, continue to wrestle with that, and maybe those verses will be an encouragement to you. And just the last thing is we kind of close another sort of key to endurance. I think we talked about how we can ask for wisdom, and God is really generous in giving wisdom, and how also we can, when we have the long view in mind, we know that God will turn things upside down. But we also know that God is consistent in his character. And one of the things that James really points out and highlights is, in the midst of trial, one of the easiest things to fall into is to blame God. Anyone ever done that before? Blame God for something or kind of struggle with that? I mean, that's a very, very human thing. And in general, like, blaming other people is a very human thing. I work with middle schoolers. And middle schoolers, especially when I'm like, a lot of my work is actually in discipline and conflict. And really, it's just like, I just saw you say that thing and now you're saying you didn't say anything. Or I just saw you hit that kid and you're saying that it was that person's fault and that you didn't do anything. And really, there's kind of this human sort of nature to blame. And one of the things that James really focuses on is that when we're being tempted, that God is consistent in his character. Because God is good, because God cannot be tempted, he's not going to be the tempter. That God is the source of goodness and light, that he's the father of lights from whom every good and perfect gift comes. So he's not actually going to be the source of kind of the trials and temptations that you're going through. And in God, it says there's no variation or shadow due to change. That even when our situation is kind of unstable, when we feel unstable in our doubt, that God is constant, that he doesn't change, that he's consistent, he is faithful. And in the midst of trials, we can look to him because he is the one in whom there is no change. Amen. So I want to go back to Montgomery State Woods Park because it's kind of funny that this whole thing kind of came around. I didn't know that Deanna was actually going to design these slides to have trees on them. But one of the things that I saw when I was at Montgomery Woods State Park was the sign. And it really stood out to me because I think it kind of spoke to my life and where I'm at and sort of what I want in my life. And there was kind of this grove area with all these trees, and there was a sign that said, "Unlike most trees, redwoods thrive in a floodplain environment. While floodwaters and thick deposits of soil kill competing vegetation like Douglas fir, Grand fir, and Western hemlock, redwoods endure. Redwoods endure. Following a flood, a new root system grows rapidly into the new silt deposit." It's this really interesting, like, sign to me. I took a picture of this, so clearly I was kind of impacted by this. And I was thinking about this. I was like, redwoods endure. But redwoods are also redwoods. They're as tall as they are and beautiful and magnificent and strong as they are because they go through floods. They endure floods. And every time there's a flood, new roots grow. Deeper and deeper, their root systems expand and makes them stronger and taller and wider. And the reason why redwoods are as beautiful as they are is because they go through floods. And I think this is sort of the identity that we're called to as Christians. We are called to be people who endure. We are called to be people who overcome. We are called to be people who, in the midst of floods, in the midst of storms, can grow and mature and stand firm and tall, and be found to be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And so tonight, I just want to kind of ask you, what is the flood that you're going through? All of us are probably experiencing floods in some way. Maybe it is actual, like, you're experiencing some financial difficulties and feeling that material and financial sort of strain. Maybe it's something, a job frustration. Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's in your family or your marriage or with your kids. Maybe it's physical sickness. Maybe it's enduring loss. emotional things, emotional turmoil or spiritual doubt, struggle. I don't know what it is. I think all of us in this room could probably say there's some sort of flood that we're facing right now. But tonight, I believe that God wants to say, Church Without Walls, can we be a community that rejoices? Somehow, mysteriously, in the midst of that, can we rejoice in the trials? Because we know that there's a joy set before us. There's something beyond that as we endure, as we go through, as we stand tall, as we stand firm, that there's something on the other side. And James reminds us that God is with us in our trials. Amen? God is with us. He's generous to give us wisdom. He will have the last say. And he's consistent. He's unchanging. There is no variation. There's no changing with him. He is the Father of lights from whom every good and perfect gift comes. And he wants us to learn how to endure. The road to maturity goes through trials, and there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. But God wants us to stand, and he wants to teach us to endure. I'm going to invite the worship team up, I think. Just to lead us. And one just next step for you all to sort of reflect on as you think about your life. I want every person in this room to actually take some time to think about an actual trial you're facing in your life right now. And a next step, just a simple next step that's something we can do, and hopefully our Discover groups can talk about, is to try asking God every day this week for wisdom about that trial. Ask God for wisdom every day. See what happens. See how you start thinking differently about that trial. See what God brings up for you. But ask God for wisdom every day. God is generous in giving us wisdom. He's single-minded in it. So let's try and be single-minded in asking for wisdom throughout this week.